Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Church. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our heart with the heart of God. Please join our hosts, Apostle Etta Banks and Minister Tabika Garnes, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is Apostle Etta Banks, your host on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And, of course, I have with me today my co-host, Minister Tabika Garnes, and we have the privilege of having hosting with us this morning Deacon Thomas Farr of Issues Christian Men Talk. So good morning to the both of you. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. I'm well. How are you?
Blessed as always. Blessed as always. Deacon, how are you, sir?
I'm here. I'm doing wonderful. God bless you.
Amen. God bless. God bless. Well, as always, you know that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. So we are so grateful for this day and having another opportunity to do our part in completing our death in Christ Jesus. So we are excited about that. And I would like to say good morning to Joyce Richardson. God bless you, woman of God. We thank you for always being here with us. To Tamika Shelton, God bless you, sweetheart. God is good all the time. Be encouraged in all that you do. To Joyce in New York, to Isaiah in Chicago, Isaiah in Pennsylvania, to Prophet Crawford and Lee Crawford. I do understand that she had major surgery last week, and she's coming along well. But I do believe it was a bypass that she had. So we'll be checking in with her after the show today. But God bless the both of them, and y'all keep them in your prayers. keep them in your prayers. To Prophetess Kim, Prophetess Dorn, again, good morning to you, faithful followers. We love you, and we truly appreciate you to the utmost. Appreciate you to the utmost. And, of course, to all of our listeners, all of you are very, very special. Remember, this is Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And so we want to know what is on your heart, and as we also find out what is on the Father's heart. So it's a heart-to-heart conversation that we have here on Heart to Heart. Now, just let me say this morning that we have two very special guests, and we're going to ask Minister Tabika to open us up in prayer. But we do have two very special guests today, and as they are speaking, any of the listening audience, remember what the rules are. As you are listening, if there's a comment that you would like to make or a question that you would like to ask, all you have to do is press 1 on your keypad, and that will let me know that you wish to speak, and we will pull you in live into the studio, and then you're able to speak. Other than that, you know, you'll be listening, and we encourage you to do so. We also encourage you, of course, to go and tell your friends and family to jump online and hear what's going on today. And at this time, we're going to ask Minister Garnes if she would open us up in prayer.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Glory to your marvelous name. Father, we just thank you for another day. We thank you, Lord God, for waking us up this morning and keeping us throughout the night, Lord God. We thank you for always being with us, always pushing us to be better than we are, Father, in the name of Jesus, oh God. We thank you for your protection. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your promises, Lord God. And, Father, we ask that you just continue to guide our path, God, even when it looks like we're falling away, Father God. I pray that you would touch us and wake us up, Lord God, so that we won't miss the move that you're trying to do in our life, Father. I ask, Lord God, that you touch each and every person, Lord God, that's listening today, Lord God. Touch their families, God, whatever it is that they have in prayer to you, Father God. I just ask that they wait long enough to hear your answer in the name of Jesus, God. So I come against discouragement and disappointment that sometimes comes with waiting on something that a person desires so much, Father God. Just keep them wrapped in your arms and keep them close to you, Father God, and keep the negative whispers, Lord God, out of their ear gates now in the name of Jesus, oh God. Help us to be still in your presence. Help us to wait for you and wait on the answer and not move ahead of you, Father, Lord God. We just thank you for your faithfulness to us in the name of Jesus, God. We just thank you for who you created us to be, God. We thank you for choosing us in whatever realm that you've chosen us to do, God. Let us be good in whatever it is that you've chosen us to do, Lord God. When we put our hands to do stuff, God, let us be strong enough to complete it, Lord God, and not jump to another thing before we've completed what you told us to do. So, God, we just thank you for this platform. In the name of Jesus, God, we thank you, Lord God, for just opening up doors, Lord, in the name of Jesus, oh God. We thank you right now that you are in control. This is your radio show. We give it to you that you may have your way on this day and every day, Father God. Mm-hmm. We bless you, love you, and honor you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Bless the Lord. Thank you so much, beloved. Thank you. Well, dear heart, amen. So as you know, all month, this is Black History Month, and all month we've been pulling up information and sharing information with you as far as Black history is concerned. We, I think, our very first week, we talked about inventions and so forth that are not the common ones that most people know about, not the ones that they taught us in school, but, you know, for some things that were invented, some of our wealthy forefathers and women, they became wealthy as entrepreneurs with products that they created and so forth. So we did that, and we also talked about pre-slavery Christianity. You know, a lot of times you hear from African Americans that Christianity is the white man's religion, and we used a book, Dante, oh my goodness, here I go again, Dante, Tabika, what was his last name?
I think it's Fortin,
okay. And his book was on pre-slavery Christianity, and showing how prior to slavery, blacks walked in the very fact that blacks were the ones in dealing, you know, coming from Egypt and in the Bible, you know, our black presence was there. So we've done a lot this week this month to bring some of the history to you as our listeners. Last week we had the honor of having Mr. James Wright on, who is an author of a trilogy, that's three books that he had written, dealing again with history, and a lot of good information. So I did hear from a lot of you listeners, you know, that you were grateful for the information that had come forth, and that's what we want to do. We want to bring you, you know, information, things that may have been on your heart, and some of these things, you know, you brought questions to us about, and so we've had to do research and so forth and come back to you and bring answers to you. Well, this morning, I am so thrilled and so very, very excited to have with us this morning guest I'm sorry, Mr. Rayner Banks. And listen, y'all, let me tell you now, no, we are not related. We are not related. We do have Mr. Rayner Banks, but I think we both would feel honored to be in each other's family line, okay? Mr. Rayner Banks, and with him also this morning is his wonderful assistant, Elmira Thornton. Now, let me tell you how I came across them and asking for them to be a guest on our show. Mr. Banks was on, he and Elmira were on Fox 45, I believe it was, and I was walking through a room, and they were talking about the topic we'll talk about today, and I caught like 30 seconds of the show, and when I caught what they were saying, I was like, oh, my goodness, that would be so nice to have them on our show. And so then I went ahead and did my research. How do I find this man? You know, what do I do? And so forth. And with the busy schedule that the two of them have, he so graciously accepted our invitation. And I was just so, so moved by that, that he accepted the invitation and coming with, so much good information. Information that we know little about, very, very little, if anything, about. So I'm excited about it. So if y'all hear me going, wee, you know it's just because I'm excited. And New Vision folks know that's my middle name. I'm Apostle. I'm excited, Banks. So that's who I am. And so, you know, that's where we are today. And the honor that we have with Deacon Thomas Farr, you know, I called him. And he has his own show, Issues Christian Men Talk. He has his own show. And bless his heart, you know, I asked him, would he join us this morning? And, well, I'm going to let him tell you. Deacon, what did you do? What did you do after I asked you to join us this morning?
Amen, amen. Well, we were able to simulcast because we're going live to Heart to Heart and we're connected with Issues Christian Men Talk. So we can get this information out and share it with our audiences. Because when I heard about it, I didn't even know the museum existed here in Maryland, so this is information news for me. But we're connected now on Issues Christian Men Talk, and for my regular listeners, you are on the right line. You are on the right show. Again, with Issues Christian Men Talk, we're every Saturday morning at 9 a.m., Mondays at 8 p.m., and Thursdays at 8 p.m., and if you called in at 646-668-2636, again, if you press one on your keypad, you can ask questions, share insights with the guests as we continue to go. And Apostle Etta Banks will be hosting, so just, you know, listen for her voice, follow her instruction. But I'm on the keyboard. I see all those who've called in Maryland and Baltimore, up in Staten Island. So I appreciate you and enjoy. God bless.
Amen. God bless. God bless. So did you see that, beloved? He simultaneously has his show connected to our show. His show, Issues Christian Men Talk, airs this morning at the same time, but he was able to connect the two shows together. And in doing that, his people that call into his show, you know, they're hearing the broadcast, Heart to Heart. You know, we're here on the broadcast, is connected together. And this is the unity that we should be able to work in. It is not a big I and a little U. You know, it is the togetherness to bring about information to our listening audience. So, Deacon, I want to thank you so very much, sir, for doing the connection that you did and your audience being with us. And just as Deacon Farr said, nothing has changed on his end. He's looking at his studio. I'm looking at mine. And if anyone needs to ask a question, all you have to do is press 1 on your keypad. All righty, so let's get started here. So Mr. Banks, I tell you, again, sir, good morning to you, and how are you doing today?
Good morning, everyone. It's been a joy and a blessing to me to be a part of your program. First of all, I'm saying that because you're spiritually based. And that's very, very important in our world today. And I'm glad to be here to share some information about what we're doing and what needs to be told to the public and what you need to know.
Amen, amen. And Elmira, good morning to you again, beloved. How are you today?
I am doing fine, just a little nervous, but I'm hoping I can share some of the information that will help our audience learn a little bit more about our Black history.
Amen, amen. And I'm sure you'll be just fine, just fine. Now, I know we've introduced these two people to you, and you're saying, okay, what is it that they have to contribute? And Mr. Banks and Elmira, the both of them, they are from the Negro League. Okay, let me get this straight now. They're from the Negro League in baseball. And so we want to allow them to share with us some history as far as baseball, our ancestors, forefathers, those that played in it, what they had to go through to be a part of this. And we're going to do that. And before we let Mr. Banks start, I already have someone that wishes to speak, so just let me double check to be sure everything is okay. Just hold on one moment, please.
Hello. Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
And who am I speaking to, please?
This is Peter Brooks calling. I'm with my aunt Cecilia. This is Cab Calloway's daughter and grandson. It's such a pleasure for us to be with you this morning. Thank you so much for telling us about it. I want to extend greetings to all your listeners. Amen. To Ray Banks, to Elmira, thank you for doing this show. I just want your listeners to know that this is some of the most important history in Maryland right now, because what these people represent is the very beginning, the origin of the civil rights movement. And that's why it's important. This is where it starts with what Ray and Elmira are about to present. So I hope that all of your listeners are inspired, that you grow from this spiritually, emotionally, intellectually, and psychologically, because that's what knowing the history has done for me. It's helped me to grow and to mature. So thank you very much.
Amen, amen. Thank you, thank you. That was a very good introduction for them. That was very good. And thank you so very much. Excuse
thank
me. Yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am. So Mr. Banks, he's also known as the Negro League Goodwill Ambassador. And so we're going to ask Mr. Banks, if he would start off with telling us, and we're celebrating the 100th anniversary too, so he'll get into that. So, Mr. Banks, if you would please go ahead and tell us how it is that you even got to the place where you started looking at baseball, the history of baseball. Give us some background, please, if you would.
Yes, thank you. First of all, I am a baseball, I guess, enthusiast, and I played baseball in high school. I graduated from Dunbar High in 1965. I am now playing a senior slow pitch. My intentions were to become a major league ball player, but I found myself in front of a preacher saying, "I do." And I don't regret that. I don't regret it. However, my passion is still here, and I still love the game of baseball. I guess in 1996, I was sitting home watching TV, and I seen on Fox 45 a Negro League presentation of a naming of a park in West Baltimore. It once upon a time was called Bloomingdale Park. They changed the name of that park to Leon Dace Park. I had no idea what the Negro League was all about at the time, so I got in my car, and I drove over to West Baltimore, and I met a gentleman by the name of Paul Fair, who was the president of the Leon Days Foundation at that time. I was introduced to the widow of Leon Day, Ms. Geraldine Day. As a matter of fact, after talking to Ms. Geraldine Day, she's the one that introduced me to the Negro League, and from 1996 up to the present date, I've been doing this because of her. So I said to myself, I would like to do something to keep Mr. Day's legacy alive. And to do that, Ms. Day said, Mr. Banks, you can do anything you want to do. I became the Negro League Goodwill Ambassador. When I thought about that, it's going to be selfish to do it just for one man. Why not become the Negro League Ambassador for each and every ball player who played back in the day? So from that point on, I've been doing a little bit of research. I've met a lot of ball players back in the day, back in the 60s, 69, 70, and I'm so grateful. After meeting Ms. Geraldine Day, I met Mrs. Mamie Peter Johnson. I've even met, of course, Jackie Robinson's wife, Miss Rachel Robinson. I also met a daughter, Sharon. But most important of all, the ball players who I met, they touched my life. Mr. Al Burles, there's so many of them. And it's a lot of, they're blue-collar ball players. They're not well-known as a Josh Gibson or Satchel Paige, but they played an important role in our history. And because of that factor, we met Mr. Bert Simmons. Mr. Bert Simmons played for the Baltimore Eli Giants. He was noted for his knuckleball, the specialty of a knuckleball back in the day. He was also an educator in the school system. By meeting him, him and I traveled around. I had the artifacts that were, I've been blessed to have, and he had the speech to talk about the Negro League, and we won the stars at the White House. And we also met with President Bush, the son. We went to the White House in 2013. He wasn't available at time to go, but we met President Obama as well. But there's so much history that you folks need to know. And we created a Negro League Baseball Museum here in Baltimore, Maryland, that nobody knows about. It's really in Baltimore County, in Owings Mills. We were at a crab feast one day at the Pike's Diner. And in walked Baltimore County Executive Kevin Kamenetz, God rest his soul. And we told the county executive that it would be nice if we had our own venue to show and educate the public. So as a politician, you know how it is. The politicians, when they make promises, it goes in one ear and comes out the other. But this man had a little sincereness, I felt, from his heart. And about two or 3 months later, the next thing I knew that he called us up and said, well, look, how would you like to be in a museum in a library setting? And I said, fine, because the library itself is a learning venue. So we got together and we did a lot of research and what needed to be going to the library. We had Adler Display to help us out with the artifacts and everything. And on March the 27th, in 2014, we had a ribbon ceremony at the Owings Mills, Baltimore County Public Library, folks. That's where our museum is. It's on the first three levels of the library. And we tell a story. And I'm praying that each and every one of you will have a chance to go out and see what we offer and learn about a lot of things that you need to know. That's how the museum started.
Excuse me. Amen. Very good. Very good. Okay, so you said this is located in the public library in Owings Mills, correct?
Yes, and I can give you the address. Is 10302 Grand Central Avenue.
10302 Grand Central Avenue?
Yes, that's in Owings Mills, Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
21117. And we do have a website.
Okay, go ahead and give us that, please.
Our website is www.smnlb, as in Bob, inc.org. O-R-G.
Okay.
And it's open
just
7 days a week.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yes, it's open 7 days a week. It's S as in Sally, M as in Michael, N as in Nancy, L as in Lady, B as in Bob, I as in Ike, N as in Nancy, C as in Charles, .org, O-R-G.
Amen. Very good. Okay. Now, can you also tell us about the Negro League Day? Could you tell us about that, please?
Yes. And please don't beat me up when I tell you this, because this is something that, unfortunately, we never got the word out. My daughter, Tanya Thomas, wanted one day out of a year dedicated to Negro League Baseball. So we all had to go down and out to testify. We contacted our good friend, former delegate Malvin Stukes. He contacted a lot of the other delegates. On May the 7th, 2009, former Governor Malley called us down to Annapolis. He signed a bill that nobody knows about. It's Senate Bill 248 and House Bill 48. The second Saturday in the month of May just happens to be Negro League Day in the state of Maryland. The second Saturday in May. And hardly nobody knows about that, because I don't know what happened, but we're a little late getting that word out.
Mm-hmm.
But that is Negro League Day in the state of Maryland, and I'm asking the Baltimore Orioles, the Ironbirds in Aberdeen, Maryland, the Bowie Bay Sox in Bowie, Maryland, the Frederick Keys, all of those teams, we're hoping and praying that they are recognized, acknowledged that second Saturday this year, and really celebrate on a large scale. And I'm asking you, the listeners, to also take advantage of acknowledging that one day and do something or wear something to acknowledge what that day signifies. So we do have
Amen.
That one day, and I'm very, very gratified.
Amen. All righty. Well, listen, folks here on Heart to Heart and Issue Christian Men Talk, you've heard from Mr. Raynard Banks as far as the Negro League Day in the state of Maryland, the second Saturday of May. So definitely this is information that we had no knowledge of, and let's do something, you know, to recognize that. So do all you can to tell your children, your friends, your grandchildren, you know, tell them all about it, because of the fact that they went through what they had to go through to get this signed in, you know, get it approved, so that we could actually do this. And so thanks to his daughter that said, you know, I would like to see something like that. And it's done. It is done. So let us please carry on the information. You know, we talk about the fact that history is somebody else's history, and we don't hear much about our own. But you're hearing about our history in the baseball area. You're hearing about it here on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. So take this information and be sure to share. Remember also, as you're listening, if you have a question or a remark that you would like to make, please press 1 on your keypad, whether it's here or with Deacon Thomas Farr, press 1 on your keypad and you'll be able to ask questions. Now, before we go further, I would like to speak with Elmira. Mr. Banks will be telling us some more things about the league. But I want to get to this young lady and ask her, Elmira, how are you again, dear? Thank you for being here once again.
Well, I'm doing fine.
You're doing fine.
And that
Thank
I am
you.
Excited to be on your show.
Oh, bless you, bless you. We are so grateful, so grateful. Now, you are assisting Ray, and you are assisting him. And exactly what is it that you do with the league?
Well, basically, I speak to students, and I do it in a question and answer format. And I was wondering if I could do the same thing with the listening audience. Just ask them a couple of questions, very basic, about the league.
Yes, ma'am, you may. And before you ask the questions, now listen, Issues Christian Men Talk and Heart to Heart. She is going to ask the questions. You are supposed to give the answer. Let's see how much you can contribute to this. So get your fingers ready. Get it ready to press 1 on your keypad, so we can bring you in to answer these questions. Go ahead, please, Elmira.
Question number one, did women play in the Negro Leagues?
Do you have anyone that knows that answer? Okay, I don't see anyone on my side. Okay, go ahead, sis. Oh, wait a minute. Here we go. Wait one moment. One moment. Good morning, beloved. Your last four digits are 2920. Go ahead, please.
Yes, women did play in the Negro League.
Very good. Can you tell me the number of women who played?
Ask that question again.
The number of women who played. How many played?
I have no idea. I have no idea as to how many played. But
okay.
I do know they did play, but I do not know how many played.
Well, that is wonderful,
the
fact that you know that they did play, because a lot of people were not aware that women played with the men in the Negro Leagues. Not a team of their own, like that movie that came out, but with the men. There were three women, and they played on a team called the Indianapolis Clowns. The first one to be picked by the Clowns was named Toni Stone, and she played second base. Now, my question is, they asked her to do something or wear something as she ran the bases. Can you imagine what that was?
Can we imagine what it was that she had to wear while running the bases? Excuse me. Anyone got an idea? Anyone? What about the young lady that answered and said that she knew that women played, but she didn't know how many? Do you have an idea what the women had to wear or what Toni had to wear?
No, I do not.
Okay.
She was
righty. Go ahead, love.
She was asked to wear a skirt, and can you imagine that? Now, in all fairness, I understand why the team asked for that, because there was an All-American Girls Pro Baseball League, which consisted of all Caucasians, and they did wear skirts when they ran the bases. However, Toni said she was a professional baseball player, and she was going to wear a uniform just like her male counterpart.
All right. All right. Excellent. Excellent. Excellent.
The other two women who played was Connie Morgan, and Connie also played second base. Connie was considered to be the replacement for Hank Aaron, because she was about his size, and also she had skills, which in coordination and agility, and they thought she would be a very good player. Also, Connie had the look that they wanted, which was more feminine than Toni, because Toni had a more boyish look. And in their effort to promote the team, they wanted to stress the fact that there were women who played with the men. Now, the third person to come on board was Mamie Peanut Johnson. She was a pitcher. Can you imagine or tell me why they called her Peanut?
Because she was tiny?
Exactly. And the story goes that one of the opposing teams tried to challenge her and said, "How can you strike out anybody when you are as big as a peanut?" And guess what happened? She struck him out.
Struck it out. All right. Awesome. Awesome.
Because
beautiful.
You cannot challenge those women and not expect them to step up to the plate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, in
all
essence,
right.
That's just a little brief summary of what three women did who helped change history for baseball.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Now I heard you say you normally do this with children. So you go and you do these presentations in schools?
Yes. And the thing I found amazing is that the teachers have the children to do a little bit of reading before I show up. And at times mm-hmm. they give me some very interesting comments on their views as to why women were chosen and if women will continue to play in the future.
Okay. All righty. All right. Very good. Excellent. Well, folks, you've heard it first here on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. You heard it here. You never knew that women played in the baseball league. You've heard it here. And I loved it when she said, not just their own team, like the movie that we've seen. I've seen it many a times where the women formed their own team and they played. These women played with the men, and they held their own, and that was awesome. That was awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that, beloved. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
All right, Mr. Danks.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir. Can you tell us when did the league actually – when did blacks actually get started being involved in playing baseball? When did all of this begin? How long has this been in fruition?
I want to take you back to the 1800s, around 1885, 87. There were three mm-hmm. – African-American guys that played baseball, Moses Fleetwood Walker. He had a brother mm-hmm. named Weldy Walker, and a gentleman by the name of Bud Fowler. They were the first, way before Jackie Stein. And they played well, but the problem was with the gentleman's agreement, they were told that because of the color of their skin, they had to stop playing ball. So they stopped until the year of 1920. In 1920, Mr. Rube Foster, who's known to be the father of the Negro League, he started the Negro League in an organized fashion. And as you alluded to earlier, this is our 100th anniversary that we're celebrating this year of 2020. The date, February the 13th of 1920, that's when the league started. That's when Rube Foster started the Negro League in an organized fashion. And the Negro mm-hmm. League, date-wise, lasted until about 1960, but some books say 1961. From 1954 to 1960 or 1961, ball players played and they barnstormed around different countries playing ball. But when I asked a lot of the youth about when did Negro League start, they don't know the history behind Jackie Robinson. A lot of those guys played way before Jackie's time. Jackie started, as we know, in 1947. And as Elmira alluded to herself, when Hank Aaron was replaced with one of the women who played the game, well, Hank Aaron is a well-known ball player. We know who Hank Aaron is. Once upon a time, he's the home run king. And I'm being partial now. I still consider Hank Aaron the home run king. Willie Mays came out of the Negro League. Ernie Banks came out of the Negro League. Roy Campanella. That's what happened. The demise of baseball, Negro League-wise, started to happen because of that factor. It was good and bad at the same time. You can see that Branch Rickey had a great vision. He knew that if he took the better players from the Negro League and put them in the major leagues, mm-hmm. which is a good thing, the revenue would also follow. So that's what happened. So that started the decline of Negro League baseball. It was good and bad at the same time. Folks did not want to go see just the average ball player because most of the stars had left. But way before, I would say, the Civil Rights Movement, way before Rosa Parks, there was a movement with the Negro League players. They had their own Civil Rights Movement, and people don't understand that. When you say baseball, you think about just baseball with the Negro League players, but these guys played an important role in our history as far as the Civil Rights Movement is concerned. And if you notice, in today's world, you look at the baseball games today, there are very few black Americans playing baseball. And that's that's a known fact. If you play baseball, you make a lot of money, and it's longevity on your body. I'm not taking anything away from football or basketball, but you're a little bit more safer as far as not being a contact sport. I got a question for the audience. Our first black country western singer, Charlie Pride. Does anybody know what sport he played other than singing? What sport did Charlie Pride play in? Does anybody know that?
Just give them a moment here. Let's see. Folks, does anybody know what sport Charlie Pride played in? And if you know, please press 1 on your keypad. If you want to take a guess, press 1 on
baseball.
Your keypad.
Baseball.
That's what I would have said.
Baseball.
That's what I would have said.
That is correct.
Amen.
That is correct. And in 2008, I took a trip down to Orlando, Florida, and I had no idea that Charlie Pride played baseball in the Negro League for the Memphis Red Sox. He played. He really wanted to be a ball player. I would say not a singer. But the second time his arm got messed up, he had no choice but to stop playing a game of baseball. And he continued to sing, and the rest is history. But Charlie Pride was one of those entertainers who contributed to the Negro League. Louis Armstrong, Bojangles, didn't play, but they had teams.
Oh, okay.
The boxer, Jake Brambino, Joe Louis didn't play, but he had a team. It's a lot of the entertainers who made the teams of the Negro League survive financially by donating monies not only to the teams, but also to the civil rights movement back in the day. That's how they survived, making that, that type of money. It's a lot of history. And I could go on and on with some of the great ball players who paved the way for the players who are playing ball today. Jackie Robinson was not the better player, I would say, fundamentally. Mentality-wise, he was the right man to pick to do what he had to do for a couple of years, to withstand all the abuse that he had to take, him, not only himself, but his family, everybody. But he was not the best fundamental, solid baseball player back then. The fastest man in the Negro League. We have a storyline about the fastest man in the Negro League, and I want to ask the public, or your listening audience, do you know the name of the fastest man in the Negro League and what he's really noted for off the field? Fastest man in the Negro League, just as fast as Jesse Owens, or maybe faster.
Yep.
Does anybody know that?
Let's
I was going to say Jesse Owens, but you say no, so.
Okay. Well, if you look up and research Cool Papa Bell, there's a storyline that when they checked in the hotel, the man was so fast that he could get into bed before the light goes out. And he did. He did that. And the reason it happened, due to the fact the switch on the wall had an 8-second delay. So technically speaking, that he could get into bed before the light goes out. He's well known for that that slogan. There was a man in baseball back then who claimed that he hit a ball from the home plate. He ran to first base, and as he was sliding into second base, that same ball that he just hit, the ball hit him in the head as he slid into second base. Now, that's impossible. You can't do that. So I've listened to a lot of the stories of the players. When it starts out, it's a small thing. You know how it grows. It grows and it grows.
Yeah.
Well, that's the way it really grew. Really grew. And also, I like to compare some of the Negro League pitchers back in the day. Everybody knows about Satchel Paige. But how many of your listening audience knows about Leon Day? Leon Day. Very humble person. Very mild-mannered man. Him and Satchel pitched against each other about four times. And out of three of those four times, Leon Day would beat him. Leon Day was not one-dimensional. Not only did he just pitch, but he played every position except back edge. There's a park in West Baltimore named after him. St. Agnes Hospital, Leon Day was sick, and he had to go to the hospital, so they chose St. Agnes Hospital in West Baltimore. At his bedside, he was pretty well off. He received a phone call from Major League Baseball from Cooperstown stating that he's inducted into the Hall of Fame in 1995. He teared up. He said, I got to get out of here to get up to Cooperstown and receive my award. He died 6 days later.
Wow.
His story is told in our museum on the third level. That's my dedication to him because of his widow, Leon Day's wife, Miss Geraldine Day. But when she got up to Cooperstown, she made one of the powerful speeches up there that was ever made. And she was a well speaker. She could speak well. But once she gets started, she doesn't stop. And she spoke to about 35,000 people at a gathering in Cooperstown. I'm a little partial. I like Satchel, who was just like Muhammad Ali, as we all know. He would predict things and do things. Satchel did the same thing, but Leon Day is very special because his wife, Geraldine Day, got me into this in 1996. Mm-hmm. They were ball players who played not only from the Negro League, but they're like Cuban ball players, Minnie Minoso also played baseball in the Negro League. He is the only player who's played for 7 decades. Unfortunately, this man has never been asked to be inducted in the Cooperstown Hall of Fame. So we're hoping that the next time they have the voting, that his name will come up to be one of the electees to the Hall of Fame. As I mentioned before, Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, Roy Campanella, the better ball players, they paved the way from the Negro League. And these guys that played back in the day also paved the way for these guys making mega dollars today. The ball players back then, some of them only made $200 a month. $200 a month. And can you imagine what the guys are making today? They're making mega dollars. Some of the guys give up themselves and give back to help out financially. And there's some that don't. And these guys back in the day that played in the Negro League, they played, as you know, for the love of the game. And they played it well. A lot of the teams they confronted were the white teams, and they would beat the teams. The Negro Leagues changed the game of baseball. They played small ball. If you remember when the Kansas City Royals won the World Series 1 year, they also won the World Series by playing small ball. These guys were gifted. And not only did the guys play ball, they were inventors. They had to invent to protect themselves with shin guards to protect their shins out of wood. The white players would come with their spikes up high, metal cleats, and they would try to take them out and hurt these guys. So one of the players of the Negro League invented the shin guards. One also invented the helmet that they had to protect themselves with. Now, the guys today, they use a lot of apparatus. As a matter of fact, when they go to the plate, they look like knights in shining armor. They've got so much on these guys. But back then, these guys had to play with what they had. They didn't have the best. They had to travel through towns. They could not stop and rest because of segregation. They had to take, like Mr. Atkinson would say, bird baths in streams of water. They could not go on the front to get anything to eat. There are different movies out. Jackie Robinson, number 42, shows that. Mm-hmm. So they had to go through a whole lot. And they did it in a grandstand. They paved the way for these guys making a lot of dollars today. Any questions?
Audience, if you have a question, press 1 on your keypad. And the one thing that I would like to ask, Mr. Banks, what I would like to ask is you said you had an interest in baseball, and that's how you got started when Mrs. Day, you know, talked with you about the baseball and so forth and so on. And so what is it that, oh, I'm sorry, before I say what I got to say, somebody else has a question. Let's get the audience before me. Amen. Just one moment. Okay, beloved, your last four digits are 0506. And how are you this morning?
Well, I'm doing fine. Thanks for the program. My question is to Mr. Banks.
Yes.
Yeah, Mr. Banks. Yes, my name is Galore McGuire. My family, we moved in Turner Station when I was 7 years old, and I stayed in Turner Station until I was about 18, about 11 years. And in the meantime, my cousins lived in Washington, and they would come back and forth and play baseball down in Turner Station. And that was a big thing at the time, and that drew me apart. And I heard you mention a team called Elite.
Yes.
Yes. So they played on that team as well. It was another team, too, and I kind of lost that information because my cousin, they still in Washington, D.C., and his uncles and everybody, you know, had played, came from D.C. to play teams over here in Baltimore, you know. And at one point I had a group home, and I had a gentleman, and I cannot think of his team that he was on. He played out Drew Hill Park, softball, and Mr. Crosby, I don't know if you recognize that name, but he made history, man. He like softball, and those guys out Drew Hill Park, they could play some ball. And he had struck out 17 in a row in softball. So that's unheard of, you know, and everything. But the main thing was, you know, playing, being able to have cousins that come in from D.C. to play ball down at the Turner Station a while back. So I'll keep listening, and hello to Elmira in the background. Hello?
And sir, before you leave us, you mentioned Drew Hill Park. I've also played softball in Drew Hill Park. There was a pitcher that by the name of Clarence Pappy Brooks.
Okay, okay.
Who played fast pitch. Well known. I think at that time he made the Evening Magazine on the front cover. There's a lot of guys that played baseball. There's a gentleman who played down in Turner Station that you may know about. Was also my state farm agent, Donald Beasley. Duck Beasley.
Okay.
He's come out. He came out of Turner Station. They're ball players all over. Yes.
Okay.
Donald Beasley. Yes, sir. And the one of the teams you mentioned, the Baltimore Elite. A lot of people like to pronounce the name Elite, but it's Elite. We had two teams in Baltimore. We're very fortunate. The Baltimore Elite Giants. And we also had a team called the Baltimore Black Sox. We had two teams here. Yes, sir.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Are you still playing your softball or not?
No, I'm up in age now, so I'm just melting down, you know, just to remember a lot of history that had went on in Turner Station, the ball team. And I know Miss Speed is trying to push a little league as well. And me knowing you know, different owners and different ball players in Baltimore City. But again, lastly, Mr. Crosby, when he said you used to play fastball at Julia Park, did you remember that name? Did you hear what I say when he struck out 17 in a row?
Yeah.
Is that
unheard of? 17
yes,
in a row with fastball. Fastball.
Yes.
Because he was born, he lived down in Sandtown, Winchester, in the city. And again, I had a group home, and I had a lot of people that from the city. And I had him, and he was short. He was short, and he had long arms. And that's what made him so awesome. You know, he's short and with long arms, too. He was off the chain. He was off the chain. So hopefully they start that baseball team again for the Little League in Turner Station. So that's a blessing.
Well, you know, I've been approached, and Elmira, my assistant, can vouch for this. Sister Speed has already approached me. I've been down to Turner Station behind the Fleming Senior Center. They're built back there. We're down there with the Baltimore County Executive, Johnny Orszewski. Sometime last year, and she is still trying to get or bring baseball back to Turner Station, and I ask her about perhaps maybe something I can do in a small way to help generate interest. But it's so hard now because of technology. When I played ball back in the day, I used my mother's broomstick, a 10-cent rubber ball. You and I and all your listeners my age, we didn't want to come in the house. The kids today, the millennium guys, they're in the house on the screen. Am I right? All day long.
Yep.
Day and night.
Yep.
But we didn't come in the house. I want to thank you for sharing that with me, sir. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. It's nice hearing you talking. I'm going to keep on listening.
Thank you, sir.
Amen.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Amen. Mr. Day, if you would please tell us a little bit about the your senior Negro League tournament. Let us know about that, please.
Yes. Because of the museum and because of me being a senior softball player, I thought it would be very appropriate to have my guy 65 and over put together a senior Negro League softball team, and we did that about 3 years ago. The reason we did that, other than playing baseball and softball, I knew that we travel Manassas, Myrtle Beach, Virginia Beach, Daytona Beach, Florida. We do this, and we confront ourselves with the Caucasian men of senior softball. In Knoxville, Tennessee, 1 year, a couple of years ago, the guys won a tournament. In 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we scored 92 runs in 3 days. The teams we were confronted with were just as good as us, but from the time we left that hotel Friday morning, God was with us every step of the way to the last play on Sunday evening when we received the championship trophy. In scoring them 92 runs, we got rings. We got a lot of materialistic things. But one thing I'm very gratified that we received, that I don't think any other African-American team received this, because we're the only African-American team that's trying to keep the legacy alive of Negro League Baseball in our museum. The team is named after Leon Day and Bert Simmons. We call ourselves Simmons Day's All-Stars. When the game is all over with the opposing team, we meet on the mound. In the circle, we take our hats off. We go around in the circle. Does anybody need prayer for themselves or prayer for family? So what we're doing, we're playing good ball on the field, but we're also fellowshipping with our fellow man. And that's more meaningful to me in today's world, being an African-American person. And we're showing that we can illustrate not only on the field of play, but also spiritually. And it's working well.
Amen.
And this year, most of us now, I'll be 73 this year, and we're putting together these 70 and over senior slow pitch teams. Anybody out there and your listeners want to play ball at either 65 or 70 and over, give me a call.
Amen. Amen. Wonderful. 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 And to God be the glory. God is, if we can judge by the voice, definitely God has preserved you and done so well, because you do not sound like somebody that might be 73 years old. You do not sound like that.
Thank
God
you.
Be the glory. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, can you tell us, as we're winding down here, can you tell us what events are coming up in this year? What do you have going on?
For the listeners, anyone that comes out to the Maryland State Fair, we've been blessed, Elmira and myself and the Negro League players, will be located inside of Exhibition Hall for 11 straight days. And all you need to do is count backwards from Labor Day. Labor Day is the last day. And I think it starts about maybe August 28th, around that time. It's 11 days we're there, Exhibition Hall. Right near the candy location. And you can come and see us. Last year, I did a presentation, and I highlighted Frank Robinson because of his accomplishments in baseball and what he did to us for in 1966, coming here, taking us to the World Series. That was last year. Also, there's an event that's coming up the National Black Memorial Fine Art and Craft Show, April the 4th and 5th. That will be held at Montgomery County Fairgrounds. And the time for that is on Saturday from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And Sunday from 10 a.m. until 5 p.m. It's in Gaithersburg, but it's really in the Montgomery County Fairgrounds site. If you notice, if you watch the Super Bowl this year, the Lieutenant Colonel McGee, the Tuskegee
mm-hmm.
Airman, 100 years old,
yeah.
He's there every year. And I understand he's going to be there again this year. I had the honor of meeting him. And we're trying to get we're trying to do something this year to celebrate the 100th birthday anniversary for the Negro League. So we're trying to get in touch with Colonel McGee to have him be one of
mm-hmm.
our special guests.
Awesome.
Also, if you ever go out to Aberdeen, Maryland, where Cal Ripken Stadium is, the Einbirds play, there's a showcase located on the second floor of Negro League Baseball memorabilia. It's been there for about 18 years when the stadium opened up. So we do have a Negro League presence in Aberdeen, Maryland, where the Einbirds play. And once a year at the Bowie Bay Sox and also out in Eastern Shore where the Shorebirds play, they have Negro League night. Up in Aberdeen, where Cal Ripken is, they're doing something very special this year. And not just having Negro League night celebrated once out of a year, they're allowing us to bring Negro League night into Aberdeen, Maryland for 5 Thursdays, starting the last 2 Thursdays in July,
mm-hmm.
the last 2 Thursdays in August, and the first Thursday in September. So we will be celebrating Negro League night 5 nights out at Cal Ripken Stadium. Not only will our organization, but the Leon Days Foundation up in
mm-hmm.
Wilmington, Delaware, the Judy Johnson's Foundation, also the Ernest Burke Foundation that Ms. Cammie Murphy spearheads, and I'm blessed to be a part of that, we'll be celebrating together. So all of those dates, if you make note of that, you can come out and see some of the ball players and learn a lot about the Negro League. And today, being the last day of the month, unfortunately, at the Towson Library, my assistant Elmar and myself, we put up 9 showcases of Negro League memorabilia in cases. And it's been there ever since February the 1st of day 1. Unfortunately, it's going to come down next week on Tuesday. So we try to do as much as we can to get the word out everywhere you look. I just don't want no one to forget about the guys who paved the way playing
yeah.
Negro League Baseball and playing it well.
Amen. Amen. Mr. Banks, thank you so very, very much for all of this information. Myra Thornton, thank you, beloved. Truly, we have been blessed by your presence and by your information that you have shared. And we can hear the love of the game. We can hear it, you know, in your voices. So I know those that have seen you in person were doubly blessed, because I just can imagine, you know, them looking at you as you're giving this information, and your love for the game is just there. It's there. So I want to thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule, because I know your schedule has been heavy. So thank you so very much. And congratulations to all that y'all are doing, and continued success in what you're doing. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
And thank you
all. All right. Oh, you are welcome, beloved. You are welcome. See, I told you you'd make it through this, Ms. Elmira.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
I told you would make it. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Well, folks, you have heard it here first on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. Remember, this month we're celebrating the 100th anniversary of the Negro League. So remember that. please go to Towson, to the library, and visit the museum there. Don't let what has been done, what has been preserved, don't let it go to waste. Take your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, take them and show them the history of the league, and you never know. One day, someday, someone may be looking at your grandchildren and saying that they played in baseball because they got inspired by what they saw at the museum. So please do your best to visit the museum and the other events that are going on at the Towson Timonium State Fair, et cetera. So, again, it has been an honor. I do thank you, Deacon Thomas Farr. We thank you for bringing your show in with ours. Minister Tabika Garnes, thank you as a co-host, darling. You know, I did all the talking here, but thank you for being here with us and for us and yes. praying for us. Amen. And listen, Amen. Folks, thank you, love. Go ahead. You have an awesome day. Remember, this is the day that the Lord has made. So we shall what? We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Go forth, rejoice, and happy Black History Month. God bless you all. Have an awesome, awesome weekend.
Thank you for listening to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life, Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.